Well, I too want to give my greetings along with Tyler for those who are visiting this morning. My hope is that you're blessed by the fellowship, but also by our time together as we worship and spend time in God's Word. So hopefully you feel blessed. And we are part of the new sermon series starting today, focusing on, I think we've made the whole idea of the fruit of the Spirit a children's program type lesson, and we're trying to make sure that we understand that this is what the Holy Spirit's within us as followers of Jesus, and it's to be manifested in the fruit. And so that's what we're going to be focusing on, is what does this fruit look like in our lives? And so that'll be the agenda of this sermon series, and we'll go clear up to Thanksgiving. So I'll be anticipating that. Yes, I'm a grandpa again. Just for those of you, thank you for your prayers. Like I had anything to do with it? He is a big boy, 9'7", but we've grown big in our family. I mean, Chelsea was 10'12", so, and her husband Chris, he was over 10 pounds, and so he's in the 95th percentile in weight, and his head was 15 inches, so he was in the 98th percentile, but he's only in the 50 percentile in length, so I guess he's kind of a box. But he's a big'un. He's a big boy. And Nancy's with them right now because he doesn't, like most babies, doesn't know his days and his nights, and so he decides to stay up all night and then sleep during the day, and so she's trying to help in that challenge, if you will. Speaking of kids, this is Dakota Clark. She's from Ireland. This is around when she's 2 years old. She was born blind. And for her, her existence as a toddler was obviously a challenge. Whenever she wanted to walk around, both her parents had to hold her hands so that she was able to maneuver around as a toddler. But, and that's a very important word in her life, but also as far as this lesson is concerned. But, she went to a special clinic in China where they did a special therapy on her behalf. And she's now able to see her parents and colors and objects and lights. Not perfectly, but she's able to see somewhat because of this treatment. Her life is now totally different. You know, she was living in the darkness of blindness, you know, up until this time, and now, you know, she's able to navigate life differently. Not perfectly, but, you know, she's able to experience life, I would say, in the light because of this treatment. And it hasn't worked for everybody, but in her case, her life has been transformed. And you're wondering, how in the world does this fit with a series on the Holy Spirit? Well, hang on. I'm hoping that it does tie in. We're starting this sermon series in the book of Galatians, and the other fruit will be in different places of Scripture, but we wanted to launch here out of the book of Galatians. And I need to spend a little bit of time kind of giving you the backstory, kind of helping you prepare for chapter 5. And Kyle goes, don't go too long on this. And I'm going, I got to do some little bit about groundwork here. So he's not here. He's in children's worship. So as long as Rebecca doesn't tell on me, we're in good shape. But if you've never read the book of Galatians, you need to understand that Paul's writing to these followers of Jesus, and he's saying, you know, you Jews who've been practicing the law and all the traditions of the law and so on, you can't impose on these Gentile believers, these new followers of Jesus that have never been doing all this, you can't tell them that they have to start following the law, the Old Testament. You can't do that with them, especially you can't say you have to be circumcised. And so there's this challenge in the church and with these Jewish believers saying, you know, what do we do with the law? And they were putting pressure on these Gentile believers and saying you need to follow these practices. And so Paul's saying, no, this is not what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It's not your lineage. You know, following of being part of Abraham's lineage, and it's not the law keeping that determines whether you're a follower of Jesus or not. And so Paul says this in Galatians chapter 3. He redeemed us, Jesus redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham, okay, that part of his lineage, might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And so he begins emphasizing, you know, this dissension between the Jews and the Gentiles. They come together because of their faith in Jesus, not because of keeping the law and the practices of the law or being a part of Abraham's lineage. And that they are now united. That's what's so important about this message of Paul to the church in Galatia is they are now united in Christ because of what Christ has done and their faith in Jesus, not in these practices. So he describes their being united as followers of Jesus this way. He says, before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian. It prepared them for Christ. So it was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith, not by law keeping. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Because all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. See, there's no longer this division. They're now united. They're now one because they're being baptized into Christ. They're brought together. So it's not, you know, whether you're a Jew or Gentile, you are now followers of Jesus, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are now one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. You're part of his lineage, because they're united with Christ and heirs according to the promise. That's in Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. So they've been united because of their faith in Jesus, being united because they were baptized into him, clothed in Christ. So that's what's brought them together, not the law keeping, not the lineage of Abraham. It's their faith in Jesus and what he's done. And a part of this baptism process is just a reminder, is when you're baptized into Christ, you receive then the gift of the Holy Spirit. When they were united together, they all together received the Holy Spirit. And so as a reminder, the book of Acts, Luke says this in that chapter 2, verse 38, and regarding at the end of Peter's sermon, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what united them together, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So as this united church, these believers, these Jews and the Gentiles, as they've come together and united, they also are united because they have the Holy Spirit together. All of them as part of the church now, as followers of Jesus. And so for these Jews who've been law-keeping, and these Gentiles who have not, you know, totally different lifestyles, totally different perspectives on life, and now being brought together in Christ, Paul reminds them, okay, now you need to understand how you're supposed to live out this faith. What's this look like? And especially for those Jewish followers of Jesus, they need to understand the significance of grace and not law-keeping. And so he says this in Galatians, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. That's what the bondage of the law keeping was. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, again, law keeping, Christ will be of no value to you, because you can't be saved by the works of the law. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. If you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ, you have fallen away from grace. That's what you receive when you have faith in Jesus. You receive his grace. So for through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Faith expressing itself through love, having the Holy Spirit within them, the focus on his grace that he's given us. And so for these new believers, these new followers of Jesus, they have a different kind of life now. It's not based on law keeping, And it's also not based upon, oh, I can do whatever I want because I have this grace. They don't get a ticket to just do whatever they want. And so then Paul starts talking about, okay, now what's this new life look like? And what does it mean to have this freedom in Christ? He says, you, my brothers and sisters, are called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Because they could say, well, I'm forgiven. Man, I could just do whatever because he's going to forgive me. I got this grace. His grace may abound. He says, no, you don't have that kind of freedom. And for the Jews, okay, they need to understand that they do now have this freedom. And they had to figure out what that looked like for them. But rather serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So this is what their new life is to look like, expressing itself in love. And this is an important part of my, my message this morning, is what this looks like now as these followers try to figure out their lives and what it looks like in our lives as well as we have this Holy Spirit dwelling within us. That's my background. Now, what's this look like? He's saying for us, we're called to walk in the Spirit, live out our lives in the Spirit. That means our lives, we need to understand that our lives have been transformed. Just like they need to understand and you and I need to understand, it's not according to the flesh that we live, but we're to live out a life that's different now. Just like Dakota, when she received that treatment, her life totally changed. And she began living differently. Once in the darkness of her blindness, but now she's been transformed and walking a different walk, a different kind of life, in some ways of freedom that she didn't have before. She had that transformed life, and you and I, when we become followers of Jesus, are to have this transformed life, and our marching orders are to be different. Okay? We're supposed to be living according to the Spirit and not our own desires. According to his way and not our way. And I didn't notice this earlier. Maybe the NIV, sometimes the NIV had this transformation process, and I try to be faithful to the NIV because that's what we use in our Bible, our pews and so on. But in verse 16, at least in my translation, it says this, "But I say, walk by the Spirit and do not gratify the desires of the flesh." On your bulletins, it's different, at least the translation that was on the screen. But the Greek word there can be translated "but," which means, okay, pay attention to what's been said before. You know, in literature, when you come across a therefore or a but or so or whatever it is, when we come across that word, that means, okay, pay attention because he's been saying something and now he's going to be saying something else, so it's time to pay attention. And he says, "But I say," which means, okay, what he said before has some significance. He's saying, we need to understand that our lives are to be lived out differently. Not according to the flesh, not its own desires, but to live according to the Spirit and the direction of the Spirit, the control of the Spirit. And so this is what that transformed life is to look like. So I call that a very important word, that we need to pay attention that there's been a change. There's new marching orders. Transformation has happened. That a new life is what we are to experience. In verse 16, at least according to my translation, it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit." And in verse 25, it says, "If we live by the Spirit." Those terms, walk by the Spirit and live by the Spirit, are Paul's way of saying, this is the means of how we're supposed to live out our lives. Now, I know Brian knows this, and I know Randy knows this, and others probably know it as well, but some typical big rigs run off of air, okay, pneumatics. And I remember driving the bus for the Metro congregation. That bus had air brakes, and it had air windshield wipers. And so when you turn the windshield wipers on, you'd hear the air come through the system. It was empowered. It was, you know, the means of the brake system and the means of the wipers was based upon the air. Well, that word, pneumatai, there on the screen, okay, that's a word for spirit, but it's also the same word for wind, air, if you will. He's saying, okay, the means of, and I gave you much more information than you ever wanted to know about trucks. But he's saying the means of how we're supposed to live out our lives, just like the means of that, you know, the brakes on the truck, is to be the spirit. Okay? The way we live out our lives is to be according to the spirit. And stoichemen is the same kind of concept in verse 25. It says, by living by the spirit, he's saying that this is how you conduct your life. You and I are supposed to conduct our lives by the Spirit. If we are transformed, if we've made the decision to be a follower of Jesus, we're supposed to live out this transformed life. This is how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. It's not an on and off switch. It's an imperative, he's saying. This is how you and I are supposed to live our lives, according to the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. This is what it means for us as followers of Jesus. And I believe the purpose of this walking, of this living, is to manifest love. And the reason why that verse 16 is important, I don't know how your Bibles look, but at least in my translation, there's a break between chapter 5, verse 15, and verse 16. There's a paragraph break. And it's saying, okay, now there's something else to be said. And I think that's a bad break. I think it needs to start earlier. Because I think he's just saying, this is how we're supposed to live out our lives as followers of Jesus, and how we're supposed to live out our lives and walk in the Spirit is through love. How's the end? In like verse 15, it says, if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed. I'm going, how does that fit in here? It seems odd that it would be that. Well, notice how he finishes in verse 16. Don't be conceited, don't provoke one another or envying one another. I think in that whole section there, he's talking about the importance of love, the Spirit manifesting love in our lives. I really think that's his agenda, that the purpose of the Holy Spirit in us and how it's manifest in us is so that we love one another and we love others, our neighbors as ourselves. I think that's the driving, I guess, the control factor, or whatever you want to, the way we conduct our lives is love. The Holy Spirit is to manifest love in our lives. I believe that's the purpose, the overall purpose. And then it's manifest then in the fruit of the Spirit. It's singular. Okay? Hopefully you've paid attention to that before. It's not the fruits of the Spirit, it's the fruit. When we have the Holy Spirit within us, our lives are to manifest the fruit. The fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those nine, we called it flavors in this sermon series, so I don't know, however you want to look at it, but there's only one fruit. One fruit. We don't pick and choose. When you and I go to Ray's Produce here in town, and they have the oranges there, and the pears, and the apples, and the several different kinds of apples there, you know, we sometimes will pick one fruit, but if we have the Holy Spirit, we have all the whole thing. Okay, we don't pick and choose which ones we want. We don't say, well, you know, I'd like to have the you know, patience in my life, but those other ones I'm not going to worry about. We don't have, it's not that way. We get the whole thing. Well, we're supposed to manifest the whole thing. Okay, all that fruit is supposed to be manifest in our lives. And we're no longer to be living, okay, according to what the flesh wants. Because we're to be crucified. Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, he describes this whole thing. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life now I live in the flesh, I don't live by the way I want to live, but I live by the way that Christ has taught me. When we become followers of Jesus, when they, these Jews and Gentile believers came together, when they were buried in baptism into Christ, they were supposed to crucify their own will and what they how they wanted to live. And in so doing, that's the groundwork of allowing us to then have the Spirit manifest in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit being manifest in us. And it's not, we aren't supposed to be looking at this as dualism in our lives, like, okay, oh, I'm struggling with the flesh here, and then I'm trying to let the Spirit live here, and these are equals battling it out. The Spirit wins if we allow it. It's not this battle between equals trying to take over us. If we've been crucified in Christ, if we've died to ourselves, the Spirit is to take over. We're to allow the Spirit to take over and be manifest in our lives. But we need to allow it to take over. We need to allow it to produce the fruit in our lives. We're the ones that quench the Spirit. We're the ones. And we need to choose to say, I want the fruit of the Spirit to be manifest in my life so that I can live out this love that he's called us to live out. And it's not this idea of us being super Christians that, boy, you know, I'm going to get my flesh together and my humanity under control and I'm going to really, you know, make this thing work. It's not a fleshly thing. It's not a human thing. It's the God working within us, creating and manifesting his fruit of the Spirit that we have received. And in verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 8, he says, we're to sow, not to the Spirit, okay, but sow, I mean, not to the flesh, but we're to sow to the Spirit. And I believe that's what this, the whole idea here is you and I are to seek to allow the Spirit to work and be manifest in our lives, to sow to it and not to the flesh. And in so doing, we're going to be producing this fruit. Not just one or two different ones. The whole basket of fruit is to be manifest in our lives. And I believe the overriding, if it is principle, I don't know, is love. Is love. Dakota's parents, after, you know, the treatment that she went through and they saw what happened to her and how her life was transformed, they said a miracle happened. It was miraculous. And you can't take that away from them because there is a big change in their daughter's life. And the clinic that she went to, if you can go to their website, they quickly will say, well, that's the parents' perspective. And yes, there was a big change in their daughter's life, but we can't make the same kind of claim. And they also said that, you know, we can't promise the same thing would happen in other people's lives. But it was very clear that a change happened in Dakota's life. Her life will never be the same. Her life will manifest this change, this transformation that she had gone through. And as people look at your life, and as people look at my life, and as you and I talk about our lives, what kind of claim do we make? Do you and I talk about the transformation that's happened to us? Do we talk about the supernatural manifestation of God's Holy Spirit within each one of us? Is that our claim? Or are we more often saying, well, you know, don't pray for patience because you might get it, you know? Do we talk? Do we claim to have the Holy Spirit? Do we claim to have experience of transformation? Do we claim that what's being manifest in our lives is the fruit of the Spirit? Or do we just say, well, I'm just a kind person? What's our claim? What's our claim? This morning we gather together to claim that Jesus is Lord and to worship Him. After you say this, Lisa Breslin had Samantha in August while I was on vacation, and we've been trying ever since then to try to have special prayer for Samantha and welcome her into the church family. And Samantha just likes to eat when it's time for worship, and so we have just kind of crossed paths quite a bit. And so I caught her this morning in our marriage and family class, and so we had prayer for Samantha this morning. I caught her. But make sure, I know many of you already welcomed her into the church family, but make sure that you get to meet Samantha if you haven't already. And Grayson and Deegan are, I think they're working hard at being good brothers, so let's be good family. Jesus says this, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." When Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, when he says we need to sow to the Spirit, we can't sow to the Spirit unless we have died, unless we've been crucified, unless we've laid down our lives. Because out of that, fruit comes. When Jesus describes what it means to be a follower of Him, He says you need to deny yourself, lay down your lives, be crucified, if you will, like Him, so that we can be His followers, to live the lives He's called us to live. And for the Spirit to work in our lives, we've got to die. We've got to die to ourselves so that the fruit of His Spirit can be manifest in us. And that's tough. That's hard. We struggle, but that's our calling, to die. And this morning there may be someone here who's just, man, the whole idea of dying to self is tough, and you need us to come alongside you and to bless you and help you in this process so that the fruit of God's Spirit can be manifest in your life. We'd be happy to pray for you. And maybe, you know, you thought about being a follower of Jesus and thinking about laying down your life. I'd be really overjoyed to spend some time with you and praying with you and studying with you what it means to be a follower of Jesus and dying to self and be united with Him. Maybe some other things you want to share with the body here as we gather together to pray. There's some things you want to share with us. It's our tradition to share them now as we stand and sing.